Today, I'm having the honor to talk to Aaron Snyder, who is a quality management system expert in 21 CFR and ISO 13485. Currently, he's looking at Fresenius, and he's also accredited by AAMI. Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you today, Malti?
Thanks very much. Let's start with the interview. What keeps you awake at night around your work? Why are you doing work in the quality area?
Yeah, with all leaders in the quality realm, you know, the things that keep you up at night are related to not only the conformance of your product. So the products that you're manufacturing and going out of the marketplace, are they performing as expected? But also, you're always worried about whether the regulators are going to show up and your quality system is functioning as appropriate. And at the end of the day, all the quality systems depend on the people in the facility to support them. So you can have the best processes in the world. If people don't follow them, doesn't matter. So keeping your teams happy, keeping the organization focused on those processes, focused on following them consistently and producing that good product. At the end of the day, it's those two areas. It's that product quality. Are we meeting those customer expectations? And it's, are we following our processes? And do we have a healthy quality system?
Very good. Thanks very much. And what exactly can someone get from you if this person would hire you for a project or an engagement?
All right. So I have a unique skill set. So I did a lot of compliance auditing. So I happen to know where quality systems are really weak or where the industry really struggles with certain elements in a quality system. But I also have a Six Sigma black belt, and I'm focused on efficiency and simplification. And what you'll see out in the industry a lot is companies will either buy up other companies, so now they have two quality systems, or the quality system itself over time starts to get more bureaucratic, more complex. There's a new group, there's a reorganization. We got a finding, we add on a new requirement. We got another finding, we add on another requirement. And you keep adding on these requirements. And then one day you wake up and I need a million people to run my system. And you kind of have to take a step back and look at it at the highest level. So what I like to focus on are, first, what are those minimum requirements? So what are the regulatory requirements that we have to meet? And then how can we implement a system in the simplest way to meet those requirements? Because it's really easy to put a complex, burdensome system in place. It's actually very difficult to put a simple, compliant system in place. So I focus on simplicity, I focus on compliance, and moving in the right direction. So you can't go from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. It doesn't work. So you got to take small steps and improve those processes over time.
That sounds very challenging and a nice challenge, to be honest. What do you think in this area would be the main drivers and the challenges for the upcoming years, do you think?
Yeah, one of the consultants that I work a lot with, I do a lot of teaching with, he has a joke about, in 1990, you could have fell asleep and woke up in 2010, and the quality system requirements are really kind of the same. So 1345 didn't evolve much over that time. The QSR did go through a revision during that time, but still, it wasn't a revolutionary change. And maybe my dates are wrong. It's probably 2000 to 2015. There weren't very many changes. But then in the last 6 years, we got change after change after change after change. So first 9001, really not a big deal. It actually made it easier to comply with. But 1345 was a pretty big upgrade, the 1345 2016, because it aligned it with the QSR. And then we get the EU MDR and the IVDR, which has all that focus on the clinical evaluation, tech files, and then post-market surveillance. So kind of the three big cornerstones of the new regulations in Europe. And there just seems to be more and more and more regulations around the world, whether it's China, whether it's Brazil, coming into the fold. and the complexity of working in that global organization and understanding all of those different regions is just going through the roof. And a lot of our companies today, the quality systems are stressed by all that complexity.
I see. All right. Can you maybe tell me something about your most challenging period in your quality life, and what did you do to overcome this obstacle?
Yeah, so I was actually hired by Waters Corporation to help get their corporate site ready for an FDA inspection. So they had recently started selling medical devices, and they knew that their quality system needed to be upgraded. And the most challenging part of doing that was coming into an established organization that had been highly successful in producing analytical test equipment for basically pharma and research, and try to get them to think like a medical device company and follow cGMPs to get in line with the QSR. And that shift from 9001 over to medical device quality system was a very difficult shift, not only shift in mindset, but a shift in the resource requirements, a shift in the internal systems and how they have to operate, and then the behaviors of the people. So taking that organization from kind of, you know, 9001, we've got a quality system, there's not a lot of focus, over to we passed a QCID inspection. And we've hired 30 people, and the organization is fully developing itself now. And we have standalone parts of the quality group that didn't exist 2 years ago. That was probably the biggest challenge of my career. And the first year and a half, we're very stressful from the standpoint of, oh my God, if the FDA shows up tomorrow, it's going to be rough. But the more we got into it, and the more the system started to take off and run on its own, once the FDA did show up, we were able to present a good case. We were able to show that we have been building out the quality system and that everything was improving, and we actually closed out that inspection with no 483s.
Pretty impressive. Thanks very much for the insights. And then my next question is most probably a bit naive, but do you think in problems or in solutions?
Right. So if you're in a manufacturing facility, you have quote unquote problems every day. There are fires all over the place. And when I look at them, right, of course it's firefighting. You've got to address this issue. We got to get this product, this batch moving, this lot moving, whatever it is, we got to solve this issue and get the product, either scrap it, throw it away, or get it to a point where we could release it. And in each one of those fires or problems, there is an opportunity. So we have an opportunity to evaluate our system. We have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about our process, learn a little bit more about our product. And if we don't take the time to actually do the learning and fix the problem, we're going to continue to have that happen over and over and over again, which leads to burnout and disenchantment and morale issues. So they are opportunities. They just happen to be problems as well. So it's kind of both. So, but yeah. You gotta, as a leader, you have to focus on the opportunity that they present. So,
all right, very good. Thanks very much. You have said something already to the biggest challenges that companies might face with the EU MDR. Still, I think there's a couple of days to go. But still, what will be, from your position, the biggest challenges that companies face these days?
Right. The number one, it is the EU MDR. And then I would say right behind that, it's just talent management and developing your people. So medical device industry at least once you get into the medical device space as a quality professional, it is quite small. Even if you change continents, you still work with the same people, for the most part, within different companies. So the supplier quality guys are always working with mainly the same suppliers in Asia. So you'll come across colleagues that you used to work with. So it's that talent management, it's the people development, because at the end of the day, there is no degree for quality assurance.
Yeah.
Right. So who are we recruiting? Well, we're recruiting biomedical engineers. We're recruiting statisticians. We're recruiting mechanical, electrical engineers, right? I have a business management degree and I have a math degree, right? I don't fit the mold for someone in quality, but I have that problem solving background. And if you want to be in quality, specifically in the medical device space, the regulations and the requirements give us the flexibility to define our system to meet our device, the risk of the device. And at that point, it becomes very important that we solve any challenges or solve those problems in a creative and simple way. So we do have to drive a little bit harder in the device space because there is more flexibility built into our requirements. And that flexibility itself presents risk. So we have to manage that as well. But I would just say, I would say it's talent management outside of the changing regulations because they're changing so fast now.
I see. It's the same also counting for the implementation of quality management systems. If you say that talent management or talent recruiting is the key to get this done.
So when it comes to implementing a quality management system, the talent management is important, but it's not the most important. The most important is the leadership, and leadership, basically top management in the ISO language. They have to commit to quality and they have to support the quality system, because if they don't, you can get by as a quality professional, but it's going to be really stressful and your quality system's not really going to function. People won't take it seriously. So I've worked in organizations where management review was really a waste of time. It was just a paperwork exercise. I mean, yeah, everyone showed up, but they weren't really participating. So at that point, what value are we providing to the organization if management doesn't buy in? So when it comes to implementing a quality system, you have to have top management buy-in and they have to support it and drive it. It's the same for Six Sigma. It's the same for lean manufacturing. If you don't have management buy-in, you know, people can make some progress. You can have a system that kind of works, but it's not going to have that return on investment, the added value that really the regulators are looking for.
Very good. I made the same experiences, so I can clearly say that I think that this is true. Coming back to your manufacturing experience and quality, what do you think is better or what can you benefit more from? Is that the quality control or is that quality maintenance?
Right. So it's good that you asked this question because you always have this discussion around QA, quality assurance, or QC, quality control. And for anyone who has done any work in, so American Society of Quality has a certification program for quality engineers, for quality managers. If you've studied for any of those tests that they have, they talk about the quality gurus, Duran, Deming, all of these guys that came before, right? And back in the 50s, they recognize the difference between quality control and quality assurance, right? So quality control is testing your product at the end of the process to make sure it's conforming. So I'm not worried about what I'm doing in manufacturing. I'm just testing the output, test the output, test the output, test the output. And in those situations, if the output is not, if it's non-conforming, okay, we're scrapping the product, we're reworking it, we're handling it twice, that causes other problems, right? So if we're only focused on that end test, right, all of this variation and all of this trouble can be happening back here and we're not going to see it until there's an actual problem at the end. So the whole concept behind the QSR and behind 1345 is quality assurance. So let's control variation at the beginning. So let's control variation at the design. Let's have safe designs. Let's control the manufacturing process. As long as I operate in this defined range, I've shown statistically that I'll have acceptable output. So control, control. Then at the end, I don't need to test because I've done enough work to show that I've controlled my design, I've controlled my manufacturing, I've operated within my established ranges, my output is going to be good. I've statistically shown my output will be acceptable. I still may do inspection. I still have to do batch release, lot release, but that's more of a paperwork exercise than it is confirming that the product or testing the product because I've already done that through my validation work. So I'm always quality assurance. If I set the process up right, if I design the product right, I'll have a safe product. My process will produce good output. If I'm not focused on that, okay, well, then we have a lot of reactionary rework and double handling and waste. And I don't like waste.
Pretty interesting. In this area also, I'm getting again and again the questions, what can you do if people are not following the own set procedures coming from your quality management system? So I think this is happening from time to time, and people are really struggling with it. What would be your recommendation for those?
Right. This happens everywhere, right? Non-conformances happen. People don't follow the process. Okay. What you want to avoid is just blaming it on the person. So, Aaron didn't follow the process. Aaron's a bad employee. We're going to retrain Aaron. Maybe one off, maybe with a specific employee. Normally what you'll see is it's not just Aaron. Malty has the same struggles with the process, and Jennifer does, and Sarah does, and Will does. So at that point, right, if employees are struggling to follow the process, there's a number of different potential issues. It may be that the capacity is not right. So we have a process that and amount of work that we don't have the right number of people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because then everyone's going to struggle. We won't really know because they're deciding what's important and what's not. They're not following the process. If we do have enough people, maybe the process itself is deficient. Okay. So the process doesn't facilitate compliance. It's either overly burdensome or it's too vague. If it's too vague, it's people dependent. And really the whole concept between 9001 1345 is to ensure that the process works when you have trained people. So when people, it should not be person dependent. But if it's too prescriptive, it becomes resource dependent. And then you get into an issue with, can we actually fulfill the requirements of our process? So of course, whenever there's a problem like that, you have to look at the process and you've got to decide whether the process is adequate and whether it meets not only the capacity demands, but also your human demands on top of that. And the process should be adjusted to facilitate compliance. So to me, it's more important to have a process that my people follow that may be borderline mm-hmm. in line with the requirements, yeah. or maybe even a step below compliance, because I have a behavior of following the process at that point. I can always later, I can ratchet that process up and the behavior will follow it. But if I just define a process that meets regulatory requirements and no one ever follows it, so my performance is down here, I can't defend that. I can't improve that. I mean, driving this up to here is really, really difficult. So move that bar down a little bit to where people do meet it. And then over time, you can raise that bar up and people will go with it.
Pretty interesting insights. Thank you very much. Thanks also for the interview. Our time is up now. Thank you very much for the very nice answers. But there's a last one. If somebody would like to hire you for a project, what's the easiest way to contact you?
Yeah, I'm always happy to talk quality systems. I have some, I would say executive level, so high level training out on YouTube that you could find. Right now, since I'm fully employed, full-time employee at Fresenius, I actually can't do the consulting work, but I'm always happy to talk quality systems. If you want to bounce ideas off of me related to training or other different concepts, I do train the industry and FDA as part of my faculty membership at AAMI. So I'm actually training CBER in May. So we have a big class for CBER, and I'll also have a public course. So I think it is May 10th through the 14th. I have a public QSR course. So you can see me there. But yeah, look me up on YouTube or contact me at qms.jedi@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Have a great day.
Thank you, Malty. It was good talking with you.